Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So we're talking about joy, and we're talking about living in the presence of the Lord and walking in His love, and how powerful joy is and how obvious it is in the Scripture. That joy is something that a lot of the churches and Christians are lacking in some areas when we start unfolding that and understanding that. And so the enemy continually wants to rob you of that joy, and he doesn't want you to understand really the power that is found in the place of joy. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. There's a good reason why God promises joy. He promises joy more often and speaks about it than he does eternal life. And when I found that stat, I was like, no, that can't be true. But he speaks about joy continuously throughout the Scripture and the power of joy. And he speaks in John 17:13. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. God wants the fullness of his joy to apprehend your life, and that you function more from a place of joy, and I mean high joy levels than low joy levels. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Last week, we talked about joy brings about a path of transformation. There was an invitation given to everybody for joy, and we wanted to raise the joy level. In your notes, we'll kind of go through that, because most of this I already spoke about. But I want to go over it a little bit. Low joy places breed problems. If you think about that, if you don't have joy in your life and you're really always down and you're always in that low joy place, that can breed problems within your life. And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to raise the level of joy. Allow that to have its way within your life. Jesus gave joy as the reason for his teachings. He gave joy for the reasons of his teachings. And I said earlier, finding joyful Christians is not as common as it should be. Okay? That doesn't bring condemnation. It shouldn't. But we don't find that a lot in folks. And God wants to turn that around. He wants us to really live in a community where there's joy that's beginning to happen, not only in families, but in the community of the church. And that only happens when we're connected relationally to him and we're connected relationally to each other. And God wants that to take place and wants it to increase. I talked about last week the big problem of the Christian Titanic. The relational skills necessary to build and sustain joy are sinking quickly into oceans of darkness. And we challenged everybody last week and this week again to become joy starters. Now, joy is supernatural. And I was talking to Sue Ann a little bit today, and it's really hard to define all the aspects of joy. But one thing I will say to everybody in here, if I could define joy, I would define joy by Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay? That would be my object of joy. Because he defines it, he lives it, and he has joy over you. And a lot of times we can't understand how joyful he is to be with us when we're in low joy levels, when we're not really living in that place of overcoming. But he wants to be with you. I need it. The church needs it. The world needs it. We need more joy, right? We all do. And I talked about Jim Wilder. I won't go through that. But their group, after 40 years of working in this area, a Shepherd's House, different groups. And matter of fact, I even went to their place one time in Palos Heights years ago. I think it was back in the 80s for healing and counseling. And their group, after all this time, they found the things that joy begins to take place in your life and in the lives of believers. And there it is right there, and I want to read through them again, that when we're living in the place of joy, true joy, joy helps our brains to develop, grow, and remain healthy more than health food. Okay? These are facts you need to write down. Some of you are saying, yeah, because you want to eat bad. No, not really. Joy reduces stress. Joy reduces stress. Joy has more social impact than appearance, how good you look or you present yourself. Joy improves our immune system more than exercise. These are facts, okay? Joy raises brighter, more resilient children. Joy protects a marriage. Joy improves resiliency after disasters. When joy spreads, it transforms lives. And so when you read that, you see how obvious it is that we need more joy in our life. And if you go down to sustaining transformation requires thinking about several factors at once. And this is an example. In order for joy to transform our lives and communities, the following three conditions must be in place. The weak and the strong are together interacting. The weak and the strong are together interacting. And what that means is that because somebody is in a place of weakness, if we're in a place of strength at that moment, we need to minister to them and help them. Because guess what? It might be them now strong and you now weak. And I'm going to tell you, with my accountability group that I have, and with Dave Raymer and Denny Rogers, there's times that Dave is weak and I'm strong. There's times that I'm weak and Denny's strong. And we, by being in that relationship with each other, we can help each other. So when you say, when you talk about being strong and being weak, we're always interchanging many times on our journey with the Lord. So, but by being strong also means that we have such compassion for those that are weak. And we want to be there for them. And we don't want to condemn them and we don't want to shout them down. We want to help them. That's the compassion of the Lord. And number two is tender responses to weakness are the rule. You don't want to be a lion in their midst when they're hurting. Come on, you just need to do this. You don't need to do that. You can't do that. You need to be able to eat some straw and lay down with the lamb instead of being the lion. You need to be kind and you need to be tender. And that's got to be a rule across the board. We can't come down on people in their weakness. That is not Jesus. He never did it to us, and we're not to do it to anyone else. And it puts us in a position that this is how we're going to respond. This is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to act. So tender responses to weakness are the rule. The interactive presence of God maintains shalom or maintains peace. These three things. Listen. By being in the, just what we just did right now, by worshiping and being before the Lord, by maintaining that time with God, is what is going to sustain you and sustain joy in your life and hope in your life. That's part of it. That's not all of it, but that's a big part of it. And see, what we need to find out, they did a 5-year study after 40 years of working with people and seeing major breakthroughs and seeing instantaneous healings and all these things taking place. And then they looked at that same group of people 5 years later. And many of those people, even though they had breakthroughs and great healings, their life turned around, they found out that most of them was not walking with the Lord anymore. And what they found out is that they had the healing, they were on fire, God was moving, and at that point they had a support group or a little community. But what happened is they got back into their church. All of a sudden, they started drifting away. And the next thing you know, they're backsliding and turn away, and they're back to doing what they were doing before. Now, this is why it's so important to have joy. Because people don't want to be around people that don't have joy. People are drawn to people that have joy. And we need to allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to establish that joy within us. And so that's been a thing in my heart, is that I've seen all these healings. I know people that great things, and some people are still walking on fire for God. But I also have seen this huge vacuum. And the vacuum has to do with the lack of relational joy in situations. A community that really begins to love each other. And sometimes it needs to be very small. And that they begin to interact, just like even here. And when you have those communities, you begin to grow. But all of a sudden, when you take yourself out of that and you don't have that anymore, it's really hard to maintain your walk with God. And that's the point why we need Him, but man, do we need each other. We need each other. And that's how we grow. And that's how we mature in the ways of God. Okay, I'm going to show a video here. And in this video, I've been talking about this video for a while. And it's called Low Joy Airlines, okay? And this video is a little bit rough. maybe hard to understand for a few of you, but this video is talking about this airlines that flies from a position of low joy, and anyone can get on this airlines. Now listen, when you listen to this, you could easily say, oh, that's a little raw, Bob, what you're showing there. But this is one of the guys, can't remember his last name, that's teaching this, and he's going to speak to you. And this video is a little bit long, but I want to play it because I want something to sink in tonight. I want you to recognize the patterns in your life or groups of people where this has happened. It's going to be talking a little bit about addiction and kind of set this up. This addiction is not, when you say addiction immediately, you're thinking drugs and different things. Addiction can be an addiction to ministry, okay? To fly on low joy airlines. And it's kind of a spoof, you know, and it's a little bit funny, but there's nothing really funny about it. But this guy has been committed to doing this. And when I watched it a couple times, and I was like, Lord, I don't think I'm going to show that, okay? And then the Lord said, you know, well, every house, every person is my temple. And the things that I see in them every day, I still love them, and I'm still there with them. And he said, it's okay for you to show this, okay, because it's going to grip some people, and it's going to connect some dots for you. And so it's going to clarify a little bit on addictions and how the brain gets hijacked continuously. It's going to talk about compassion and tenderness toward people who are struggling. This video will give you hope for recovery. And it will definitely talk about artificial joy and pseudo joy, which isn't joy really at all. And I'm going to tell you, the true joy only comes from Him and comes through being in the body of Christ and the fellowship of Christ. So this story is about low joy airlines. You'll recognize some things. Go ahead and make sure it's fired up. And he's kind of...
Hi, I'm Ed Corey, and welcome to our recovery series, starting with Low Joy Airlines. I want to help you understand today how addiction works and why it's so easy to get addicted to so many things. You see, there's a connection between addiction, dopamine, and joy. See, joy is what happens in my brain when it's experiencing God or other people being really glad to be with it. When that happens, dopamine shoots off in my brain like fireworks. It makes everything feel great. The problem in addictions is things that I call beeps. Beeps are behaviors, events, experiences, people, or substances that also trigger the release of dopamine and endorphins in my brain. Beeps form an artificial sense of joy. So they run the same neurochemical pathways as joy does. But they're artificial.
The beeps thing, he kept saying beeps. Look at your notes real quick so that you lock that in. Because you can lose what it's talking about there. The beeps are behavior, events, experiences, and people and substances. Okay? Lock that in. Okay.
They're not connected to genuine relationships with God and other. Now, the best way I know to explain all this is to tell you a story about Low Joy Airlines. Are you ready? Have you ever flown on Low Joy Airlines for a day, a week, a month, or your entire life? Do you know what the founder's motto at Low Joy Airlines is? It's this. Some airlines believe in service and travel that reaches for the stars. But at Low Joy Airlines, our service model is different. We like to find every black hole we can, suck the life out of you, and start flying into them as hard and fast as we possibly can. At Low Joy Airlines, we take that joy out of life better than anyone, and we have flights to nowhere leaving hourly. So how does your flight on Low Joy Airlines start? Well, the fun begins as soon as you get to the airport, because even though it's your airline, LJA's having a lot of problems getting off the ground today. You see, everybody else's flight has been canceled. Yours hasn't, because you own the airlines. But that just means there are now hundreds of people waiting to join you to rebook as you check in at the helpful LJA ticket counter. And by the time you've gotten through that stampede, you are off to be stripped of your dignity at the official LJA security screening. Yes, LJA has its own screening where there is absolutely no joking. And you are stripped of everything that ever did make your life enjoyable, amusing, or fun, or funny. Now, can you spot the experienced LJA passenger in that photo? Now, one of the problems LJA has is quality control issues, and you don't always get to pick your plane. Sometimes it's upsized, sometimes it's downsized, and sometimes it's propeller-sized. And you end up sitting on the runway for a while. But eventually, they solve the problem, and it's time to board your plane. Now, as you board your LJA flight, you first discover that boarding by zone is a myth. Because boarding by zone 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. never happens. LJA boarding is like a stampede of wildebeest all heading for the watering hole while being chased by a lion. And because you spent so long in security, you're at the end of the line, so guess where your carry-on bags go? That's exactly right, there's no bin space left, so they will go under your seat. And of course, when you board the plane, you discover that you're seated in economy in the very last row of the plane. So what is it like being there? Well, first, you are stuck in the middle between two very large people. You're in the middle seat, and there's so little room. Your arms are drawn into your sides. You got to hold your breath a little bit and not breathe too deeply. And you're at the bulkhead seat. That's the very last row, and that means your seat won't recline at all for the entire long flight. And because your carry-on is stuffed under the seat in front of you, your knees are now tucked up under your chin because there's no room for your feet. And best of all, you are seated right next to the restroom. That's right, the restroom seat on a very long, very full flight. Now, you also discover that the passenger in front of you is not all that interested in reclining the seat when they're allowed to. So just as you're leaning forward to check out your movie selections for the flight, bam, you are hit in the face by the back of the guy's or woman's chair. And unfortunately, now your knees are under your chin and your nose is bleeding, but you're thinking, okay, at least the movie will come. But unfortunately, the movie is broken. And so are your headphones. So there will be no in-flight entertainment for you. So you reach for the call button to ask the flight attendant for help, and you meet your very helpful LJA flight attendant, whose famous saying is, "You want what?" And soon, it's time for your LJA meal. Now, we don't know what it is, and neither does the airline, but they don't really care, because it's LoJoy Airlines. And for dessert, you have your tasty yogurt treat, which was good probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, but you get to try it now. And with your dessert, you get your coffee prepared by your LJA flight attendant, who's still mad at you and everyone else. But soon, it's time to meet your daring LJA pilot. Yes, your LJA pilot is an intrepid and daring flyer who loves his job. And your pilot believes in finding out where the turbulence is so that he or she can head directly through it. LJA pilots love turbulence. Basically, life is miserable and joyless on LJA, but it is, after all, our airline. It's our life. It's where we live. It's where we fly day after day after day, and we have our special middle seat by the bulkhead. And we can't get off. And then one day, something unusual happens on LoJoy Airlines. A beeps, a behavior, event, experience, people, or substance that triggers the release of dopamine in your brain gets on that plane and sits down right next to you. Now, there are a million different flavors of beeps, everything from sex to partying or codependency to cocaine to performance to alcohol to work, to computers and video games or internet pornography, or that woman standing there in the spotlight with the microphone. She might be into approval and performance, or she might be into a ministry addiction. There's thrill-seeking behaviors. There's money, which is about power. There's entertainment. There's control. There's gambling. And there's all kinds of flavors of ice cream and other high-sugar, high-fat foods, which just tastes great. Now, perhaps the beeps that got on the plane with you today was alcohol. Now, what happens when alcohol gets on a plane? Well, for the first time, there's a release of dopamine happening in your brain. And what that means for you is you feel pleasure. For the first time there in your middle seat by the bulkhead with your nose bleeding and no room and the food's horrible and everything's miserable, you feel better. Now, the problem with a single beeps is they don't travel alone. They always travel with their friends or in herds. So what other beeps get on the plane with you? Well, how about sex? Sex is a great beeps. It makes you feel good. It triggers a release of dopamine. So that sneaks on board too. And life is looking and feeling even better. And along with sex comes some really delicious chocolate and other foods that you just love. And this is your new and improved LJA because for the first time, you're actually enjoying your flight. That dopamine released by beeps is fooling your brain. It's a pseudo joy that is taking the place of actual joyful relationships with God and others that help your brain work better. LJA is still flying nowhere, but you're having a whole heck of a lot more fun getting there. For the first time, LJA doesn't feel so bad. It just seems to get better and better, and beeps have made all the difference. Now, here's the problem with beeps is they're not content to sit with you and coach. I mean, they'll hang out with you and you feel better. But pretty soon, alcohol, your beeps buddy, no longer wants to ride in coach. It wants to move up to business class service. So you think about it. How much time, effort, energy, resources, money is it going to cost me to keep my beeps happy? I mean, I don't want them to get off the plane because I'm feeling better about everything with them on, and I remember how bad it was before they got there, so I really don't want to go back to the old LJA before they got on the plane. So I make a decision. The extra resources to keep beeps happy are going to cost me. So, to make room for them, I stop family, friends, my job, people that are important to me for boarding, and I start giving their seats, selling their seats to others. Because after all, who wants to go back to the old LJA? It was no fun anyway. So while my alcohol buddy, Beeps, settles in happily in business class, I still have chocolate and sex, and they're increasingly important to me back in economy. They're still accessible to me, and I'm feeling good. But things don't last for long because sex and chocolate are consuming more of my health, my resources, my time, my effort, my energy. Sexually transmitted diseases, more time, more effort, more money, more resources gone to sex. My health is bad because I'm eating all the wrong things, I'm staying up too late, and it's not long before those things want to move to business class too. And sooner or later, beeps set their sights on first class service, style, and comfort. And I have another decision to make because by now, my resources are almost gone. But I remember how bad it was on LJA Airlines before the beeps got on board. And even though they don't sit with me anymore, I remember what it was like when they first got on the plane and that first jolt of pseudo-artificial joy hit my brain. And LJA felt better. And I can't imagine flying without those on the plane anymore. I just remember how much better everything was when they get on board. Life and my flight doesn't seem possible without them. So I do what I have to do, and beeps move into first class. And beeps in first class live large. They drain our resources. And we feel the pain without them is close, but we just can't imagine LJA without them, so we let them stay. And then one day something amazing happens. Beeps lose interest in first class. You see, they now want the entire plane. So do you know what they do? They shock you. And they kick down the cockpit door, they throw your pilot out, and start flying the plane. Because beeps never are content. As long as you let them on the plane, they're never content until they're flying it. Now, you have a beeps driving your plane. And when beeps are in charge, they take us to where they want us to go, to the people, the places, things, the areas we never imagined going because beeps are flying our plane. they take us where they want to go, and our life becomes completely, totally unmanageable. Now, if you understand how beeps create a form of pseudo-joy for us, it's not too hard to understand why it's so easy to get strongly attached to things that kill us. I mean, LJA is silly, but there's nothing funny about addictions. And that is exactly how it works, because it hijacks the areas of our brain at the deepest subconscious levels and twists them into responding to the dopamine generated by beeps instead of genuine joyful relationships with God and other. Now, here's the good news. We can learn to grow joy in recovery and displace beeps. Genuine joyful relationships with God and other displacing beeps and growing those kind of relationships are what the Thriving Recover Your Life program is all about. Now, if you want to know how...
Okay, what'd you think of that? Any comments? Any comments? True? Any comments? You can say anything you like. Almost. See, the reason I wanted to show that is because after being in, 30 years of ministry and seeing not only within myself but in so many others the struggle of being free from things that control families and control churches, you get a little bit of a righteous anger by saying, man, that's enough. And when you can connect the dots like that and you see those things, you realize what's going on. And it even gives you more compassion for people and understanding for people. And I thought by showing that video, it would help you and help many of us to begin to say, oh, I see now. I understand now. Maybe you knew it already, but now you kind of get a handle on what's going on. Because if they're in a place, if people are struggling in that low joy place, yes, it's going to have to take an act of God to move them, but it's also going to have to take an act of God's people to move them. And we have got to be connected more to God than we ever have. I had a few people talk to me about some of the things I've been teaching, and they tried some of the joyful things that we were talking about to do, and the response was huge for them by just changing a few things within their lives. And so it's an act, yeah, it's an act of our will, but it's also us drawing ourselves into the place of the presence of the Lord and getting our joy from being with Him and being in His presence. I want to see people free. I want to see me free, completely free. And that we're not finding our joy in anything else but our relationship with Jesus and our brothers and sisters in Christ and our families in Christ. And that's what He wants. So He's giving us some ideas of what we need to do and how we need to move through this. Couple more things I'm going to share. Finding a joyful identity. You might want to pin some of this down in your journal, and I'll have more of these notes later on. But when we begin to understand joy, grace, and peace are of the same family, we can begin to understand joy is a response to grace. Grace and joy are very close together. Usually the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Most people know that, which is in one translation. But we can miss the connection between joy and grace because another translation says the word grace is the word special. And when I saw that, unmerited means without having to work for something. That means you received the grace of God because you didn't have to work for it. It was a gift to you. But also, this grace means special, that you were so special to God. I love that. So that we are very, very special to someone without having to work for it. It's the same thing that happens in a loving family with a baby. When the baby's born, all this love is put on that baby in the loving family, and that baby did nothing for it. Nothing. And it's the same way with us with God. That baby receives joy and love. Grace and joy together. God cares deeply about joy, and I want to hit that so hard. It's not something just to pan off because not many people are talking about it. God is very concerned about joy, and He cares a lot about it. And joy, think about it, joy is the response that we have to God's grace when we know that we've been forgiven completely and received by him. Joy comes up out of us. It's just a natural, supernatural effect. And joy has a lot to do with being glad to be with somebody. And for us to be able to allow that to flow from our lives. When you see somebody that you haven't seen for a while, and you know that they're happy to see you, and you see that light in their eyes, what does that do for you? It moves you. It moves you. The other day, Robert walked in here. I got to share this. And she knew I was going to share it with Sue Anna Joy. The other day, Robert walked in here, and Sue Anna knew that Pastor Mike was coming from Philadelphia, but for some reason, she didn't connect that Robert was coming back. And so Robert walked in, and Sue Anna was sitting there, was in the prayer room, and he walked through here, and he went around her, and he kind of hugged her. And she was looking up and couldn't, because he had a stocking cap on and couldn't make it out. And when she finally realized that it was Robert, she broke out into this joy, this laughter and smile and a gleam in her eye because she loved seeing him. She missed him. And the joy just came out of her. And I was sitting over here and I witnessed it, and I witnessed it in other people. But when I saw that, I was like, exactly. Now, a lot of their joy and their relationship has been because they've been in the presence of the Lord in the prayer room praying. They hear each other's hearts, and they haven't spent a whole lot of time together, but the joy that was coming out of Sue Anna was genuine joy. She didn't make it up. It just was joy flowing out of her. And I'm going to challenge all of us that we can allow that joy to flow out of us. We can respond to people a lot better than we respond to people. We can smile at people and turn things around because we smile at them. It's when people are weak or in a place of need, we can come in there and help them and love them and bring joy in their life. And that's what God wants us to do. I just love that when it happened the other day. Joy is high energy. And the sister of joy is peace or shalom. Because after high energy joy, you got to kind of wind down and be peaceful. So when we see grace and joy and peace together, it's a family. Joy is right there in the midst of it. Are you guys following what I'm saying? This is the kingdom culture that we've talked about. To be a frontline kingdom culture, you have to be a people of love and joy and peace. You have to be connected to God, and you have to be connected to each other. You have to have a community that people really want to belong to. Whether it's in an organization, a ministry, a church, wherever it is, people want to belong into community, and they want to know that you love them, that you care, and that you're joyful because they're there. And when that happens, we cannot look down upon people or judge their weakness, because being men and women of God, we have to love them in the midst of that. And we can only do that if we're connected with God. We can only do that. It's not false, or it's not for something. I don't like this light down here, Josh, but since it's not in anybody's eyes, hopefully it's okay. He kept saying, "Your light is in everybody's eyes." What he just got through sharing, God has so wired our brains that every experience of joy causes even for a time of rest and being before the Lord. We can't live without joy, and we can't live without peace and shalom. We can't. Tender responses to weakness is the rule that I said earlier, and I was talking about that. How does weakness become essential to my joyful identity? How does it? Well, the best way to build my joyful identity comes by developing a tender heart toward weakness. You got to ask God to help you do that and to have a joyful response when I see people that are weak. And when God sets up an opportunity for you to care, that's your opportunity to release joy in every situation, that you can care for that individual. I got to tell you a story about Bill. Bill, I was on my way home from Oklahoma on Saturday. And a time of weakness, a time of to be tender to somebody. I was on my way home from Oklahoma, and I was running into rain and ice and snow and everything. And so we were on an interstate, and I was doing 35 miles an hour. That was the best we could do on a 70-mile interstate. It was just really bad, bad weather. And so we're driving, and all of a sudden, I saw this car kind of cruise by me. And I might have said, okay, you're going to get yours a long time ago. But I didn't say that. I was proud of myself. I didn't say that. And I said, oh, wow, you know, because I was like, what's going to happen, you know, because he's like cruising. And so he gets one car in front of me, and he starts spinning out right in front of us, okay? So he spins out. He's doing 360 spinning. He hits the guardrail, and the guardrail shoves him across the highway, and it's an on-ramp, so there's an embankment down. It's about 30 yards. I mean, it's really a long way down. And he just goes backwards down the embankment out of sight, okay? So what I do is I immediately go to the right, and I get on, because I didn't want to get hurt either. You know, I didn't want to get in a wreck. I get onto the on-ramp there, like where it's coming off, and I start backing up the on-ramp. And when I'm backing up the on-ramp, I see this guy, and he's right there by his car, and he's on his phone already, so he must be okay. And so I run down. I said, man, are you all right? He goes, yeah, I'm all right. And I said, yeah, that was tough, you know, just kind of talking. And he goes to me, he goes, what happened? I said, what do you mean what happened? He goes, was that ice? And I said, yeah, that's why we were all going, you know. And he goes, well, I'm from Orlando, Florida, and I've never driven on ice before. And he's 20 years old. He's in the service, his second year of being in the Army. And he couldn't even figure out what took place, because he said, all of a sudden, and he was going in the other lane, I started spinning. And so I said, well, where are you going? And he said, well, I'm going about 10 miles from here to my friends. And I said, well, I'll take you there, okay? And so when I said it, we started walking back, and he was kind of like, should I go with this guy, you know? And I said, well, first of all, I want you to know I'm a pastor. And he goes, oh, okay. And so it relieved him. And so he got in the truck with me, and when we got in the truck, we started driving to the location. Again, this brought joy to me, because it was a moment where somebody was in a weak situation, and the tenderness and the compassion of my heart that Jesus gave me, okay, said, I'm going to help this guy. So I get in and I start taking him back to his location. And, of course, after saying I was a pastor, it just took a couple of seconds. And I said, so where are you at with Jesus? Do you know him? And he goes, well, I believe in God. And I said, so are you walking with him? And I thought it was pretty awesome, because he told the truth. He goes, no, I'm not. He said, you know, I grew up in my mom's church, and my mom's always after me to go to church, and I grew up in this denomination. And he said, by what I saw in church, it just didn't work for me, and it didn't feel right to me. And I just said, I can't do that. And so I still believe in God, but I couldn't do that. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, I completely understand that. I said, I couldn't either. And I started telling him about the kingdom, and I started telling him about Jesus. And I started telling him about things that he'd never heard before in a traditional church. And by the time we stopped and got him to his location, I said, Bill, can I pray for you? And he says, yeah. And so I got to lay hands on Bill and pray for Bill. And Bill was blessed. And guess who else was blessed? I was blessed. I had all this joy. And I'm sharing that as a testimony. And I said, Bill, you've got to give me your number and take my number, you know. And so we did, you know, and it wasn't long afterwards. He texted me and said, man, I'm so thankful that for what you did, you know. And then I said to him, I said, Bill, can you check this out? I said, check this out, Bill. I said, I'm driving to Indiana from Oklahoma. You passed me. God sets you right in front of me. If a semi was coming, you could have been killed. And you started spinning out in front of me. And the first person that gets to you is a pastor. I said, so what do you think is going on, Bill? Exactly. And he goes, I think God's trying to say something. I said, this is the first setup of many setups to come, because God's going to get your attention, and he's going to draw you back to himself. And so when I drove away in the ice and the snow and all that stuff, that was so much joy inside of me, because I was able to minister to somebody in a tender way, because they were in a place of need. And that's God. And that's how we're supposed to live. Bill, I love. And then, you know, there's places probably that you have seen compassion distributed in your life, and you've seen people really love on people. And that compassion is supposed to have its way in you. You're supposed to allow that. My grandmother, Mama Davis, she was amazing. That's the other grandmother, not the one I told you about earlier. Okay, Mama Davis was amazing and brought so much joy. And Mama Davis, my grandfather was mean, a mean guy. Did terrible things to her. I heard stories and was an alcoholic. And my grandfather got to the place where he couldn't even walk anymore or couldn't control himself anymore. And I watched my grandmother serve him and take care of him and show compassion to him and feed him and bathe him for years and years and years. And I never heard her complain about it. And I saw the compassion of Jesus because she was a woman that if you even said Jesus, it would bring tears to her eyes. And I saw that compassion, and that compassion had an effect on me. And so God wants you to remember where you've seen compassion, where you've seen love. God wants you to live in the place of joy. Some of you may have not had joyful families growing up, and maybe don't have them now. And you might be in a rough place. But God wants to restore you. And he wants you to be aware that his joy is available in all situations. I hope some of these teachings cause you to just be a little kinder and say more things and hug more and smile more and love more. Because it's Jesus. Joy is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it can't be phony, okay? It's got to be genuine. And it's got to be real. Because he'll call you out on it if you start doing the phony thing, you know? But maybe when you see somebody, let them know that you're so glad to see them. You know, sometimes we really are, but we don't express it. Release that faucet, man. Let it go. So glad to see you. And if they say, oh, you've been going to Bob's class, you know, say, rebuke them in Jesus' name. No. You know, it's just, no, just let that happen. Because that's really how we're going to grow as a community and connect with each other. We've got to do that. Why don't you come on up, Josh, just for a little bit. And I want to kind of share a few more things here in closing. I'll have these notes for you, and hopefully you're pinning some things down. But again, talking about finding our joyful identity. I already talked about seeing people through the eyes of compassion. And there's a personal responsibility in each and every one of us. And each and every one of us with Jesus have the power to make a difference in people's lives. And we got to understand that. The different types of folks in communities. This is what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks from now. Next week, I'll say this real quick, is going to be the Healing and Prophetic Night. We have prophetic rooms going on in the Healing Night, and Dave Raymer will be speaking. But the week after that, we're going to start talking about different types of folks in communities and cultures. We're going to talk about protectors, how we protect people in the place of life. If people are weak, we want to go and protect them. And when we protect people, joy increases within our lives. But we're also going to talk about predators. And when there's a lot of predators in a community or a group, the joy level drops hugely. But when there's more protectors in a group, the joy level begins to arise because people are actually caring. And then we're going to talk about possums. So you got protectors, predators, and possums. And possums are people that live a lot of times in fear and anxiety, and they don't really want to engage really anybody because they've been hurt in relationships before, and they don't want to be hurt again. And so they hide and they withdraw. And that's not a bad description, because when I say this might help you a little bit. Every one of you can be all three of those from time to time. You might be an amazing protector to your family, but you might hide in other areas of your life. You might be an amazing protector, but then all of a sudden, because of lack of healing in your life, you become a predator and you put people down or judge them or become, you know, self-justified. And so that's why working with joy and understanding these things, we learn how to function and move and be together. And here's the cool thing about this. When we have the love of the Lord in us, that we can be in a situation, even with a predator, and we can show love and not have any fear whatsoever and help them in the midst of their struggle. That's community. That's koinonia that many people don't talk about anymore. That's really koinonia, agape. There's a Hebrew word that I looked it up today, and this word is in the Torah a lot. I think it was like 200 and something times that this word, it was the word really for agape love, but it was in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And one of the definitions of it is sticky love. And I found that kind of hilarious. This love, this Hebrew word, sticky love. And what it means is that God's love will stick with you through whatever you go through. That's what they're saying. It doesn't mean crazy stuff today, but it's saying that's what it means. That God's love will stick with you. And when you have God's love in you, you'll stick with anybody in any situation and keep loving them. That's how communities build. Now, there's definitely parameters that you put around predators because you don't allow them to have their way. You have to call them into position, but you have to love on them. And if they want to be loved on and they want to change, they can change. Go ahead and stand just for a moment. So, protectors need to increase so that joy can increase. Protectors will do a lot of different things. They'll amplify joy in weakness, and they won't, listen to this one, they will not amplify problems in the other person's life. Do you hear me? Protectors amplify joy. They don't amplify their problems. They love them. Protectors realize people need to rest because they went through something and they're wore out because they might be doing ministry or whatever. They're wore out. And good protectors say, you need to rest for a while and come away and be with the Lord. Is this making sense? This is a lifestyle and a community that lives in the place of koinonia. Rest builds trust and peace, and it eventually brings you back to joy when you can rest for a while and get in the Lord's presence. Sometimes protectors almost create stress because they're trying to protect too much. Anybody in here? No. And so the result of that can really put a strain on a relationship because protectors are wanting to help. But this is what happens in joy in protectors. Whatever pain, they realize that the relationship is far greater than the pain that they're going to go through that protector. That goes with everything. That your relationship with God and each other is greater than the struggle or the stress you're going through or the pain you're going through. And God wants you to know that tonight. So as I just review this and we're going to pray, joy is relational. Joy is the twinkle in someone's eye when they see us. Joy is the sense we are special before we have to do anything to prove it to anybody. Joy grows when the weak and the strong are together showing tenderness toward weakness. Joy is God's gift to us. Correcting of what we might have heard about joy. You know, you heard the old saying, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Well, that's talking more about service. That's not talking about joy. Jesus is joy. That can cause somebody to be disillusioned. The last thing is joy is something we can and must produce together with the help of the Holy Spirit. Joy gets things done in a beautiful way. Listen to that. Joy gets things done. And peace lets us be still. Remember, God is constant and He will not leave you. He won't forsake you. He is with you and He wants you and I to grow in the area of the joy of the Lord, that it would be our strength in all things. And I have a hard time trying to define this right now because there's so many definitions to it. But that's why I say joy is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen? Okay. Well, let's just pray. I just want to take a moment. Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to move in our midst and to bring healing, to bring decisions that are necessary right now that need to be made. God, that we would be a people that would begin to live in your joy and we would find a joyful identity in you. Lord, I ask if there's anyone here who just needs prayer right now, because this is a little overwhelming to them, or they're feeling a weak moment, that we can pray with them and we can ask for you to come and to move and to bring healing, and that they would hear your voice. So, Lord, we just open up the front for a moment. Just give anybody an opportunity to come forward that needs to grow in this area, that has lived on joy, low joy airlines way too long, that something would be broken tonight as we even sang that earlier, that you are the way, Jesus, and you are the freedom. Holy Spirit, we need you. If anyone comes forward, any pastors, prophetic group, healing group, anyone, just minister to them. Just give that moment. You just want to ask the Lord to help you. No matter how long you've been in ministry, have your way, Jesus. God, meet people where they are. Let them hear your voice. Bring healing today. If you need to ask God to forgive you, just come forward and just do that. If you need him to help you walk this out and understand this, he will do that. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. We want you, Jesus. More of you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. If you feel a need for prayer for any physical healing, just feel free to come forward too. By your Spirit. God, I ask that you would awaken things within us tonight and tomorrow and in the days to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Is there anything you want to lead us in? Through anything? It's okay. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. So always remember, Jehovah never sleeps. You might be tired right now. If you need to leave, you can, but make sure you greet someone on the way out. The Lord bless you. Next week will be the healing night and prophetic. It's your joy. Song I sing, the love I
song I sing, the love I need, and without it, without it, I'm not living. And I will exalt you, Lord, I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord, I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. And I will exalt you, Lord, I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord, I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. And there will be no one like you, no one beside. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other without it, without